Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Arei Avram Golder, and today we're in Masechus Pesachim, Daf Pei Gimel, the seventh perek, Ketzad Tzoin. This is going to be an abbreviated shir. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Atzamos Vagidim Vanosar Yisarfu B'Shishasar. The bones, sinews, and leftover flesh of the Pesach must be burnt on the 16th of Nisan. Ramar Bar Abo said in the name of Yitzchak, Atzamos Kadshim Shishim Shil Nosar, bones of any Kadshim that served as a carrier of Nosar, Metaminas Yadaim Hova Nasim Basnas Adavar Aser, are metami the hands mid the Rabbanah like Nosar itself, since they served as a basis for a forbidden object. Now the Gemara seeks to support Rabbi Yitzchak's statement from the Mishnah, which stated that the bones must be burned. Now if the bones had no marrow, why must they be burned? Let people discard them. Rather, it must be that since the bones had marrow in them, which subsequently became Nosar, the bones became a basis to that Nosar, and therefore must be burned. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying, Shimush Nosar Lav Milsi. Serving Nosar as a basis is not a factor, and the Tanakh Mishnah holds that when the Torah stated Ve'etzem L'tishbru Bo, you shall not break a bone in it. Bo, the term in it means B'kasher B'afil B'pasel, a kasher Pesach, and even a pasel Pesach. Since it's forbidden to break open the bones even after the Pesach becomes Nosar, they must always be burned because of the marrow in them. However, the bones themselves do not inherently require burning. Point number two, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, called Gidim Basar Chutz Megidei Tzavar. All sinews are considered flesh except for the sinews of the neck. Rashi explains that the sinews are considered meat, and therefore when people register for the Pesach, and there must be a kazayis of flesh for each person to eat, the sinews may be counted as flesh. The neck sinew is very hard, and is considered like wood rather than flesh. The Gemara attempts to challenge Rav's ruling from our Mishnah and brings a number of resolutions. And point number three, the Mishnah stated, Chal Shishasar, Liyos B'Shabbos, Yisarfa B'Shivasar, Lefisha Inu Dorchen Loz Shabbos, Voz Yantav. If the 16th of Nisan fell on Shabbos, then the bones, sinews, and nosar are burned on the 17th, because the mitzvahs to burn them are not docha Shabbos or yantiv. The Gemara asks why the burning doesn't override yantiv. Nesei ase v'yitche lo sase. Let the ase to burn nosar come and be docha the lo sase of not doing malach and yantiv. So Chizkiah said, and so it was taught in a brace in Chizkiah's yeshiva, the pasuk states, lo sisir mimenu ad boker v'anos mimenu ad boker be'esh tisrufu. You shall not leave any of it until morning, and any of it that is left until morning. Now why was it necessary to stay boker a second time? To give the Pesach a second morning for its burning, which refers to the first morning of Chol HaMoed. Abai and Rabbah bring two additional sources. Ravashi said, Shabbason de Yontov Asehu. The Pesach regarding rest and Yontov is an Aseh. Ve'ein Aseh doche los Aseh va'aseh. And a single Aseh, such as the mitzvah of burning Nosar, does not override the combination of an Aseh and a los Aseh. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah state, Atzamos ve'gidim va'nosar yisarfu b'shishasar. The bones, sinews, and leftover flesh of the Pesach must be burnt on the 16th of Nisan. Ramar Bar Abo said in the name of Yitzchak, Atzamos Kadshim Shishim Shil Nosar, bones of any Kadshim that served as a carrier of Nosar, Metaminas Yadaim Hova Nasim Basnas Adavar Aser, are Metami the hands mid the Rabbanah like Nosar itself, since they served as a basis for a forbidden object. Now the Gemara seeks to support Rabbi Yitzchak's statement from the Mishnah, which stated that the bones must be burned. Now if the bones had no marrow, why must they be burned? Let people discard them. Rather, it must be that since the bones had marrow in them, which subsequently became Nosar, the bones became a basis to that Nosar, and therefore must be burned. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying, Shimush Nosar Lav Milsi. Serving Nosar as a basis is not a factor, and the Tanakh Mishnah holds that when the Torah stated, Ve'etzem L'tishbru Bo, you shall not break a bone in it. Bo, the term in it means, B'kasher B'afil B'pasel, a kasher Pesach, and even a pasel Pesach. Since it's forbidden to break open the bones even after the Pesach becomes Nosar, they must always be burned because of the marrow in them. However, the bones themselves do not inherently require burning. Point number two, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, called Gidim Basar Chutz Megidei Tzavar. All sinews are considered flesh except for the sinews of the neck. Rashi explains that the sinews are considered meat, and therefore when people register for the Pesach, and there must be a kazayis of flesh for each person to eat, the sinews may be counted as flesh. The neck sinew is very hard, and is considered like wood rather than the flesh. The Gemara attempts to challenge Rav's ruling from our Mishnah and brings a number of resolutions. And point number three, the Mishnah stated, Chal Shishasar, Liyos B'Shabbos, Yisarfa B'Shivasar, Lefisha Inu Dorchen Loz Shabbos, Voz Yantav. If the 16th of Nisan fell on Shabbos, then the bones, sinews, and nosar are burned on the 17th, because the mitzvahs to burn them are not Docha Shabbos or Yantav. The Gemara asks why the burning doesn't override Yantav. Nesei Aseh V'Yitche Los Aseh. Let the Aseh to burn nosar come and be docha the losase of not doing malach and yantiv. So Chizkiyah said, and so it was taught in a brace in Chizkiyah's yeshiva, the pasuk states, "Osisir mimenu ad boker v'anos mimenu ad boker be'esh tisrufu." You shall not leave any of it until morning, and any of it that is left until morning. Now, why was it necessary to stay boker a second time? Litim lo boker sheni l'sreifa sod, to give the Pesach a second morning for its burning, which refers to the first morning of Chol Hamoed. Abai and Rabbah bring two additional sources. Ravashi said, "Shabbason de yontov asehu." The pasuk regarding rest and yontov is an ase. Ve'ein ase dochelos ase va'ase. And a single ase, such as the mitzvah of burning noser, does not override the combination of an ase and a los ase. All right, so now we go to our simon for Dav Pei Gimel, and our standard simon is a pogo stick. So here goes. The reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with noser and neck sinews, which were hard as wood, wowed the spectators at the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan, since the 16th fell on Shabbos. Once again, in slow motion. The reigning pogo stick champion, that must be more in Daf Pei Gimel. The reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar, which reminds the next Mishnah states that the bone sinews and leftover flesh of the Pesach must be burned on the 16th of Nisan. Rav Mari Bar Avuah said in the name of Yitzchak, bones of any kachim that served as a carry of nosar are metamei in the hands of the Rabbanon like nosar itself, since they served as a basis for a davar aser. The Gemara seeks to support Rabbi Yitzchak's statement from the Mishnah, but rejects the proof, saying, Shimush Noser Lav Milsi. Serving Noser as a basis is not a factor, and the ton of our Mishnah holds that when the Torah stated, Be'etzim L'tishbu Bo, you shall not break a bone in it. Bo, the term in it means, Be'kasher V'afil B'pasel, a kasher Pesach, and even a pasel Pesach. Since it's forbidden to break open the bones even after the Pesach becomes Noser, they must always be burned because of the marrow in them. However, the bones themselves do not inherently require burning. So the reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood, which reminds Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, called Gidim Basar Chutz Migidei Tzavar. All sinews are considered flesh except for the sinews of the neck. Rashi explains that the sinews are considered meat, and therefore when people register for the Pesach, and there must be a kazayas of flesh for each person to eat, the sinews may be counted as flesh. The neck sinew is very hard, and is considered like wood rather than the flesh. The Gemara attempts to challenge Rav's ruling from a Mishnah and brings a number of resolutions. So the reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood wowed the spectators at the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan since the 16th fell on Shabbos. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that if the 16th of Nisan fell on Shabbos, then the bones, sinews, and nosar are burned on the 17th because the mitzvahs to burn them are not doche Shabbos or yantiv. The Gemara asks why the burning doesn't override yantiv. Let the aseh to burn nosar come and be doche the los aseh, not din melach and yantiv. So Chizkiyah said, the pasuk states, Lo sishir mimenu ad boker, but nosar mimenu ad boker, but esh tisrufu. You shall not leave any of it until morning, and any of it that's left until morning you shall burn in fire. So why was it necessary to state ad boker a second time? Weitan lo boker shen l'sreifa so, to give the Pesach a second morning for its burning, which refers to the first morning of Chol Hamoed. Abai and Rabbah brought two additional sources, and Ravashi said, Shabbason de Yom Tov Asehu. The Pesach regarding rest on Yantiv is an Ase, Vein Ase, Dochelos Ase, Vase. And a single Ase, such as the mitzvah of burning Noser, does not override the combination of an Ase and Los Ase. So once again, the reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with Noser and neck sinews, which were hard as wood, wowed the spectators of the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan, since the 16th fell on Shabbos. All right, now it's time for four blot back Chazara. Dafayin test. So the Simmer Dafayin test is an 8, a pen, but we use a scribe. So here goes. The senior scribe, scribes, that must be one Daf Ayin test. The senior scribes were busy counting how many kelim had become tummy from a mace versus a sheretz, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brisa that teaches that even if the majority of the Jews and the Kohanim were tamei, but the Klei Sharis were tamei, all the people, whether tamei or tamei, make the offering in Tumah, because the communal offering brought in Tumah is not divided. Rav Chisa said that this only applies shenitma sak mitame mace, where the knife or the other kli became tame through contact with someone who had contact with a mace. The knife, therefore, is then mitame, the one who's doing the shechting, so that when the passing offering is made, but Tumah is a guf to karis kamas of it. It's made by people who are in a state of body Tumah, who would be subject to karis if not for the special dispensation that applies to communal Tumah. Since the avoda of the Pesach is being done by people whose bodies are tamei, those who are previously tamei may also participate in it. This din does not apply if the kli was touched by a sheretz, since it's not mitamei, the people bring the carbon and they remain tahor. Therefore, those who are tamei may not join them. Rava disagrees and says that it also applies in the case of a sheretz. So the senior scribes were busy counting how many kilim had become tamei from a mace versus a sheretz, while the rookie scribes, who counted half the people tahor and the other half tamei, which reminds us, there's a machlokas in a case where the Jews were evenly divided with half of them tahor and half of them tamei. Rav says, Mechzal Mechzal Karov, a case of half and half is treated like a majority. The Gemara explains how osin atzman v'how osin atzman. The Torah ones make the Pesach offerings by themselves, and the tummy ones make the Pesach offerings themselves. Rav Kahana said, "Maxal maxa ain't a karov. In a case of half and half, each segment is not treated like a majority." And the Gemara explains, "Tahorin osin as a rishon utmeim osin as a sheni." Those who are Torah make the first Pesach offering, since the minority group of Tahorim are never exempt from making the first Pesach, and those who are Tameh make the Pesach Sheni. The Gemara brings a second version of Rav Kahana's position that those who are Tameh make neither the first or second Pesach. They do not make Pesach Rishon because they're not the majority, which would allow them to bring in a Tumah, and they don't make Pesach Sheni because they're not the minority. So the senior scribes were busy counting how many Kelim had become Tameh from a Maase versus a Sheretz, while the rookie scribes who counted half the people Tahor and the other half Tameh were in a quandary whether to include the women, which reminds us. The Gemara brings brises that supports Rav's position and the two versions of Rav Kahana's position. The middle brises support the first version of Rav Kahana that the Tameh half is deferred to Pesach Sheni, and the Gemara asks how Rav and the second version of Rav Kahana would explain it. The Gemara answers that the case was where they were evenly divided between Tahor and Tameh, but the majority of men were Tahor, but Nashim Mashlimos L'Tameim, and when the women were included in the count, they filled in the missing number of Tameh people and brought the total to exactly half. And the Tana of this brisa holds, Nashim Berishon Rishus, the participation of the woman in the first Pesach is optional. Therefore, you must subtract the woman from the count of those who are Tameh, with the result that those who are Tameh are actually the minority of the ones who are counted, and the rule is that the minority is deferred to Pesach Sheni. Daf Pei. So the Simur Daf Pei is Payday. Payday. So here goes. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tameh from a Sheretz, it turned out the majority were Zavim, and the minority were Tamei Mesim from a hidden corpse, and were permitted to bring on Pesach Rishon or Sheni, even though the tzitzis maratza for Tumas at home. Once again, in slow motion. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely, that must be Runda Pei, Payday. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tamei from a Sheretz, which reminds us it was stated that the Jews were evenly divided with half of them Tahor, and the other half Tameh, Rav says, were Metameh, one of the Tahor people, with the Sheretz. So the majority will be Tameh, and they all bring the Pesach together in Tumah. Now the Gemara clarifies, the Rav made a statement in a case where there's a Tana who holds that in the case of half and half, they do not all make the Pesach in Tumah, and who also holds, like Rabbi Yehuda has said, in Karban Sibur Chaluk, that a Karban Sibur is not divided, meaning once a segment of the community is making the offering in Tumah, it's not fitting for the remainder of the community to avoid contact with them. So in such a case, he'll be forced to be Tameh, one of the Tahor people, with the Sheretz, so the majority will be Tameh, and the community will be able to make the offering in Tumah. Ul disagrees and says that when the community is divided, we send one of the Tahor people to a distant road, so the majority will be Tameh. And the Gemara clarifies that Ul disagrees with using a Sheretz, since he holds that we may shecht the Pesach and Duzrik as a dam on behalf of someone Tameh from a Sheretz. And Rav Nachman disagrees with Ul, since he held that no one would volunteer to go to the trouble of traveling to a distant road. So after the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tameh from a Sheretz, it turned out the majority were Zavim and the minority were Tameh Mesim from a hidden corpse and weren't permitted to bring on Pesach Rishon or Sheni, which reminds us it was stated that if the majority of the community were Zavim and the minority were Tameh Mesim, Rav says that those who are Tameh Mesim do not bring on Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. They don't bring on Pesach Rishon because they're a minority of the community, and the minority does not bring a Pesach and Tumah on Pesach Rishon. And they don't make it on Pesach Sheni because wherever the community brings a Pesach on Pesach Rishon, an individual who is Tameh brings it on Pesach Sheni. But whenever the community does not bring the carbon on Pesach Rishon, an individual that was Tameh does not bring it on Pesach Sheni. And the Meiri clarifies that the Zavim also don't make the Pesach on either Pesach Rishon or Sheni. They can't make it on Pesach Rishon because Tumah is not Tuchuyah for Zavim. And they can't make it on Pesach Sheni because the majority of the community is not deferred to Pesach Sheni. So after the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tameh from a Sheretz, it turned out the majority were Zavim, the minority were Tameh Mesim from a hidden corpse, and were permitted to bring a Pesach Rishon or Sheni, even though the tzitzis is maratza for Tumas at the home. Which reminds us that the next Mishnah states that the tzitzis maratza in a case where it became known after the Zrikas Adam that the Pesach had become Tameh, but Nitma Aguf. But if it became known that the body, the owner, had been Tameh, it's not maratza because they said concerning another one making a Pesach, Hatzitz maratza al Tumas Adam, vein Hatzitz maratza al Tumas Aguf. The tzitzis maratza for Tumah of the blood, but not for the Tumah of the owner's body. But if it became known that the owner became Tameh from Tumas at the home, from the Tumah of the Deep, which is a Tumah that was unknown to anyone, the tzitzis is maratza. Daf payoff. So the Simmer Daf payoff is a grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa. That must be more in Daf payoff. The grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for Tumas at the home and who told the Kohen bringing a tummy that it's permitted for him, which reminds us, Rav Yosef inquired, Kohenim Aratz B'Tamid, concerning the Kohen who affects acceptance for the tummy, meaning the one that does the avoda, was Tumas at the home permitted for him or not? Rav said, it's a Kal V'Chomer. If in place where known Tumas is not permitted, such as in the case of a Nazir or Pesach, Tumas at the home is permitted, according to some, then in a place where known tuma is permitted, such as a tamid, which Rashi explains can be offered by a tamid kohen when no tahor kohen is available, isn't it logical that tumas at the home would be permitted for it? The Gemara rejects this proof because ain dan kal v'chomer mahalach, we don't derive a kal v'chomer from halach l'mosh m'sinai. Rava answered instead that we derive the law of the tamid that tumas at the home is permitted for the kohen from the gezer shava of mo'odo mo'odo, from the case of the Pesach. So the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a tumas at the home and who told the Kohen bringing a tummy that is permitted for him, was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world. Which reminds the Gemara asks for the source for Tumas to home, and three sources are brought. The Gemara challenges the interpretations based on a brisa that states, that which is Tumas to home, any tumah that no one, even at the end of the earth, is aware of. If even one person at the end of the earth is aware of it, ein zed Tumas to home. It is not Tumas to home, since none of the sources were consistent with that definition. The Gemara concludes, Tumas at the home, Hilchas of Gemirah, Ukras Makta Ba'alma. The law of Tumas at the home is a lachal Moshe Messina, and the pasuk brought by each Amor was only on a smakta. So the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a Tumas at the home, and who told the Kohen bringing a tummy that is permitted for him, was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world, despite the fact that it was concealed under straw. Which reminds us, a brisa defines the type of concealment that qualifies for Tumas at the home. If one found it concealed under straw, earth, or pebbles, it's Tumas the home. But if one found it in water, in the darkness, or in crevices in the boulders, it's not Tumas the home. Rashi explains that although the Tumas is not readily apparent, it's not deemed concealed and unknown, since one who looks closely can find it in spite of its position. The Braisa concludes that Tumas the home only applies for the Tuma of a maze. Daf Pei Beis. So the Simmer Daf Pei Beis is a pub. So here goes. The beer pub, that must mean we're on Daf Pei Beis. The beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why is there a problem of burning one's own wood before the beer? Rav Yosef said, Shalul Avayish, as Mishainlo, in order not to embarrass those who do not have their own wood. Rav said, Mifnei Chashad, because of the need to avoid suspicion. Rashi explains that people seeing them take excess wood home might think they're taking from the Maracha. The difference between them would be a case where the person brings his own reeds or dry palm branches, which are not fit for burning on the Maracha. So the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises, which reminds the Gemara for the source that meat taken out of its boundary is burned, as opposed to another message such as bearing, and suggests that it's learned from the incident when Aaron burned the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on the day the Mishkan was completed and none of an Avihu died. After rejecting this source, as well as another source, the Gemara concludes that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai that all psulim of Kodesh are burned. And the Torah mentions the details around Aaron burning the chatas only because the incident occurred this way. So the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises while packing up the meat portions of some tummy customers for them to leave overnight before tossing them in a fire. Which reminds us, the mission continues, Nitmu abalim o shemesu tu ubar saraso v'yasar peshishasar. If the owners became tummy or died, its appearance must first be changed, which means that the flesh must be left overnight so that it will become pusle as nosar, and it's burned on the 16th. Rabbi Yochum Broka says, Avze yisar miyad v'yifnishen l'obalim. This one too should be burned at once because it has no way to eat it. Rabbi Yosef says the Malchus pertains to a case when the owners became tummy before the Zrikas Adam, where the meat was never fit to be eaten. Rabbi Yochum and Broka considers it a psul b'gufa, whereas the Tanakama does not. They would agree that if the owners became tummy after the Zrika, so that the meat became fit to eat before the psul occurred, then it became possible from an external factor and requires a change of appearance before it's burned. Rabbi Yochum understands the Malchus applies even in a case where the owners became tummy after the Zrika's Adam. All right, so that concludes the shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zirku wishing you a great day and great learning.